things didn't work out, and then I got laid off and I got fired.
I'm here today with Jay Yao. You're the producer at the James Altucher Show. Is there anything you learn? Could be a guest or an idea.
Always ask if you need something, because what they can say it's no. And then experiment with different things, which is what I do all the time. Things that you find no interest in, you know, just be curious. Ask a couple of questions, because the answer that you get may lead to another answer that you can give to someone asking you the same question. My thing is, if I can save clients money, I will save clients money. I'm not one of those person like, hey, pay me $1 billion that I sit around and do nothing. In our industry, that's a saying, if you save your clients money, they are more likely to come back to you.
You're listening to the Real Business Connections Network. Powered by Balbert Marketing LLC. Subscribe now and check us out at realbusinessconnections.com. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everyone once again to Learn, Speak, Teach on the Real Business Connections Network. I'm here today with Jay Yao. Jay.
Hi.
What's happening, brother? How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on. I'm really surprised and honored at the same time that you have me on. I don't know what I can add, but let's dive in.
Well, you're part two, baby. You're the producer at the James Altucher Show. And I interviewed James and I was like, hey, man, I kind of want to interview Jay. Because I know personally, and the audience knows this, I produce a couple podcasts, I do content creation, and I have a fascination of what goes on behind the scenes. And you have front row, fly on the wall, seating and editing to everything that James is doing and all the things he's accomplishing. And I thought, why wouldn't I have Jay on the show? So I'm excited to have you here.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
To get started, because you're not as big of a name as James, at least not yet, let's talk a little bit about the backstory. What did you want to be when you grew up? Did you want to be doing this, or were you thinking you were going to go a different direction?
It's funny. As many of the kids my generations, when we wanted to grow up, we wanted to be either of these three occupations: scientist, lawyer, or engineer. So naturally, because my mom is a science teacher, so I actually wanted to be not so much of a scientist, but an astronomer. I want to be astronaut, actually. I just want to go out of space and learn about, you know, astronomy as well, like planets, stars, all the fun stuff, you know, in the universe. But as I grow up, I realize I'm just not good at academic. You know, I just bad in school. So I'm like, maybe I will go into, maybe I want to be a star. I want to be a singer. I want to be an actor. And then I realize I'm not that good looking. Okay. I'm just going to be, and then I found out about sound engineer or audio engineer. I'm like, okay, so there are people.
When was that that you started to figure the sound engineer end thing out?
It's funny because I would say when I was 15. So I was in, as many kids my age and in Asia, so we have tutor. So we go to tutor after school usually. So one of my tutor, like, hey, you know, one of my friends works in studio and record music and singing and stuff like that for clients, for singers, you know. And I'm like, oh, that's a thing. And then I look it up, I sure is a thing. And I'm like, okay, that's what I want to be. I want to be a sound engineer, so I don't have to look good, and I don't need to know how to sing, and I don't have to be too smart.
And so you were thinking you would be doing music, like Beyonce's sound engineer? Were you thinking you were going to do movies, radio?
Actually, all of them. I definitely love music for sure. You know, I always want to be, you know, the engineer for Paramore or Green Day, or like, because that's just the music that I like.
Yeah.
And also, I love soundtracks and jazz as well. So like, I was imagine myself would be able to record soundtrack for movies, like for Barbie, for you know, for Superman, for Batman, for all these, like Oppenheimer, all these great movies, right? But, you know, eventually I'm like, it's not that it's too hard. I actually recorded a couple of them, but then, you know, podcast got my attention. So I'm like, podcast is fun. I learned a lot more from podcasting. So I just went for podcasting.
And you mentioned Oppenheimer. That just came out this year. Is that a killer soundtrack?
God, the sound design was amazing. Like, the sound design was amazing. And I mean, everyone knows the story of Oppenheimer, right? So I'm not giving a spoiler away. But the scene where the nuclear exploded, I'm like, that's the perfect way of showcasing like how sound is travel. Like, you know how in superhero movie you see the explosion and you hear it right away?
Yeah.
Like, don't, that's not how sounds works. You know, sounds need to travel. So it takes sound is a lot slower than light. So like you see there, that's why you see the explosion first. Then a couple seconds later, you hear the explosion.
Oh, it's like thunder and lightning. You see it and then you hear it. Slit. Okay.
Yeah. But what, sometimes people would say like, yeah, because your eyes is in front of your ear. That's why you see it first.
So you're like, I like this audio thing. Maybe I won't be an astronaut. Maybe I won't be a movie star, even though that would still be cool. But when did it start to come to fruition where you're like, nice, this is actually going to be my career?
When I actually worked in a studio. You know, I went to School of Engineering in Malaysia. That's where I was 18 at the time. And then I'm like, hey, you know, I don't want to just be in school. I want to like go out there, be in the real world and start working already while I'm in school so I can have more experience, right? So I went to the studio and then I sat in the studio a couple of times, cleaned the studios a couple of times, start learning like all the console and all the knobs, all the faders. I'm like, okay. This is what I want to do. And I sat in a couple sessions. I'm like, this is great. Because in studio, the sound engineer has control of not everything, but you have the control of how it should sound. And you have the control of, you know, maybe this part you can add a certain effects that, and then the client is happy and you'll be like, oh yeah, the client is happy, I'm happy. And you also have the creative control at the mixing stage. You know, you're like, okay, I want this guitar to sound like this. Obviously, it has to be approved by a client first. But at the same time, you have certain type of control that, you know, make me like, okay, so now I'm making music as well as mixing music.
Makes sense. And it's, I want to jump forward because James actually gave me a couple questions. But before we do.
He gave you a couple questions to ask me?
He gave me one question specifically. I asked him offline, but we'll get there in a second. What I'm super curious about is, I mean, you're entrepreneurial, you're creative. I want both ends, the yin and the yang, something that went incredibly wrong and, you know, what you learn from it. And then obviously you're doing fantastic nowadays in your career. So then talk about some of the things that went right and how you gained that momentum. But I like to start with the negative. Like, so you're starting, it's official, like you're a sound engineer in Malaysia, you start to get momentum. Talk about a nosebleed that came along the way.
The nosebleed doesn't come after I came to the States. Would say I'm pretty lucky. I met the right person at the right time.
I'm just laughing because you're like, I came to the States and then there was nosebleeds. That makes sense to me.
Well, because like back in Malaysia, right? That's where I grew up and that's all my friend and connections is. You know, I met someone when I'm younger and then I, you know, like connections, right? Like it's trickle down. Like you met one person and then you met two person and then they connect you to the next two person and then they keep connecting you to different person.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I'm at the right place at the right time. So the nosebleed is actually when I was in the States. I was in New York. I moved to New York City and I was interning in a studio. It's a very, very popular studio, very famous studio. It's used to call it the Avatar Studio. Now it's called the Power Stations because they changed the management and the studio has been sold. So I went and interned at the studio and I was young, sort of foolish. I'm like, I'm excited. I want to, you know, I'm like, oh, get into this studio that I really want to be in. And now I'm just ready to go. So I was always happy. And then, you know, try to be in front of everyone, somehow things didn't work out, and then I got laid off and I got fired because of like some weird politics. And then I realized, okay, any setting, wherever you go, if it's more than three people, there's gotta be politics everywhere.
And things obviously ended up going good for you.
Once I got laid off, I actually just like didn't do anything for a couple months because I was so upset.
What did you do?
I just sat at home and then just like watch Seinfeld in 2 weeks. The whole season,
all of it. I think Jay, I don't like to breeze over parts like this because all of us are gonna get crash and we're gonna learn eventually, but. 2 months where you binge watch Seinfeld, maybe feel sad and scream into a pillow, I think's important for people to realize that we're not superhumans over here. So you're binging Seinfeld.
Yeah, I was binging Seinfeld and I play games every day, all day. And then I've been eating, do you know Little Caesars?
The pizza? Yeah, they, fun fact, they put Munster cheese in their cheese. That's where it gets that unique flavor, Munster cheese.
Is that why it tastes so good?
I think so.
Yeah, a good pizza. Yeah, so I had, you know, Little Caesars every week for 2 months. because I'm like, okay, I didn't have jobs. I'm not interning anywhere. And I have no energy to look for a job because it's like so upsetting. Because like my dream studio, that's where I want to work. Yeah, so, and then I'm like, okay, 2 months later, I think... It's slightly before my visas expire because I'm here because I went to school here and then I do OPT here. So I have an expiration date. Mm-hmm. I have expiration date before I have to go back to Malaysia if I didn't find anything. So I'm like, okay, you know what? Let's give it a try. Rather than like go for the biggest one, I'm just going to go for like the regular average and start it from there. So I emailed a couple of studios and then one of them get back to me at Sweet Sound Studio. And I went there, I gave them the resume, they looked through it like 5 seconds and then realized, okay, resume doesn't really matter. and then they're just like, okay, cool, so you can do this? I'm like, yeah. And then they're like, okay, we need people, we need interns, when can you start? I'm like, I can start anytime, then... I got hired as an intern. Not hired because I didn't pay money.
Yes.
But yeah, so I became an intern there. But so then I'm like, okay, now I got a chance. I have to prove myself. So
right.
Basically from that point on, I sort of reorganized the whole studio. So the good thing about going to the average studio, you get to sort of reorganize things and you sort of get to prove yourself. Right. But if you go to like the biggest studio, at least for me, you go to the biggest studio, they already have all the system down. They already have all the hierarchy down from they have interns and then they have a runner and then they have general manager and then they have assistant engineer. They have engineer. So you have to go through the ladder. Where if you go to like an average studio that have, you know, room to improve, every time you go there, I just suggest like, hey, we don't have an input list. Maybe if someone want to come in and record like a band or something, it would be really confusing. We don't know what microphone they need. We don't know what instruments they need. So I just started like, you know, making a input list for the studio, put your logo, make, you know, and then give credits to my studio manager. Then like, hey, you know, it's our idea, but you know, he let me do this. And then the boss liked it. And then the boss implemented it. And then I rewire the whole studio to make it more seamless and, you know, in terms of the signal chain. Like, so if someone wants to come in and record a guitar, I can have both room running into one room and record that way rather than have to record the drums and guitar multiple times at multiple occasions.
So you were an intern?
Yeah.
So you're going way above and beyond. When I think intern, it's like, let's just show up and make coffee and you're like, how do I revolutionize this experience? How do I do it better? So you're already very much bought in trying to help the company any way you could.
Yeah, well, that's the thing with, I don't know if people still do it nowadays. Like all the interns that I had, they think that their job is they come in and then that's it. And then they wait to be told what to do. And then if they're not doing anything, they're just on their phone, just on the computer. I'm like, okay, I'm running a session here. So I can micromanage you and ask you, you know, to let's say wrap the cable, to clean the closet, or to do something. Like, you know, a lot of the even right now, I get like freelancer that like, hey, you know, they're editing this. I maybe go a little bit off tangents now, but I just saw this a couple days ago that an editor has been editing the same podcast for so long with a bad audio quality without thinking of recommending a better microphone or better workflow. I'm like, you've been editing the same podcast for 3 years, 2 years or 3 years, and all of a sudden the audio sounds bad and you didn't say anything. You know, that's like, you should have at least go a little bit above and beyond, like, hey, maybe you can change this, change that. I will work with you on those and that. Then, you know, you build a relationship with your client.
So, for example, let's say you have a client, they want to do a solo episode. They're driving in the car. They've got an old iPhone docked right next to the AC. It's a hot day, so the AC's cranking. And you know well in advance, before this car conversation idea was officially coming to fruition, you knew in advance, just in me bringing up this rhetorical example, Jay knows it's going to sound like shit.
It's going to sound like poop.
So how long, how long do we go before that's addressed? Now, if Ben, who wants to do this car convo, and I am adamant this is the way I'm going to do it, and I'm paying you, just edit it for me. But the least Jay can do in this scenario is let Ben know that it's not the best user experience, right? It's as simple as stepping up and letting someone know there's a better way.
Yeah, first off, you have to tell them bluntly, okay, this is not going to work. Like, or you say like, hey, it's going to have a lot of issue. If you think about it, you know, you have AC and then you have an old car, you have the engine sound, and then you probably can hear what your guest is saying, and you probably can't hear yourself either. So we find another format. Maybe you drive a quieter car, spend money and get a Tesla or whatever. Yeah. Or you do it when the car is stopping. Stop the car and do it. You know, AC, maybe it's okay. You know, some AC is pretty quiet. Some cars AC are pretty quiet. So yeah, so you gotta have the pre-productions figure out first, like, and you have to tell them beforehand before they you gotta tell them before they dive right into the grave.
You've mentioned guests, like having a guest involved just makes that even more disastrous.
I just want to add because you can control what your client and the host do, but you can't control what the guests want to do. You can suggest to them, but you can't control what they want to do.
Let me ask you this, and we'll circle back because I had a thought, but on that thought, have you ever had a situation, especially, I know a lot of the recordings you guys do on the James Altucher show are in a studio, correct?
Back then. Now it's mainly remote on Squadcast.
So since it's remote, Squadcast and pandemic had to be remote. Any disaster stories either your end or the guest's end? Feel free to throw yourself under the bus. But any situation where it's like, oh my gosh, like the one we just described.
Yeah. So James likes to travel. I think the most disastrous, it's not James, it's not really a disaster. So pandemic happened. No one foresee this, right?
Yeah.
So there are no good remote recording software out there. Squadcast was new. Riverside was sort of new. Zoom is Zoom. So there's no good recording software. So when I first used Squadcast, it was fine, but you will run into situations where they will lose your files. Then you have to find backup. And then you have to do the recording again. So those happen. But one funny story, it's not a disaster, but I'm going to not shit on Mark Cuban. I shouldn't say shit on Mark Cuban, but so
we have he has FU money, Jay. I don't think he cares.
Yeah. Well, he has, we have Mark Cuban comes on, like, you know, on all this remote recording, we know for a fact that everyone should wear headphones, right?
Yeah.
Because to have a good sound, audio quality. Yeah. So Mark Cuban, worth how much? A couple billion dollars?
Give or take.
And yeah, keep or take. It came on, and then he have a good microphone. It's a Blue Yeti, which I hate. That's on the side. So he has a Blue Yeti on. I'm like, hey, Mark, you know, we just want to make sure everything is seamless. Do you have a headphones? And he's like, sure, let me look around. I'm like, that guy worth a couple billion dollars. Must have a pair of headphones laying around, right? Yeah. Turns out he has no headphones laying around. I'm like, oh my God, Mark, you, I didn't say this to him, but I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, Mark, you worth a couple billion dollars. If you want headphones, you just fly Delta a couple of times and grab some of the free one from them, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, so we ended up having to record the recording with feedback so James can hear himself every time he's done talking. So that was it wasn't too bad, but it was like a funny story.
You know, I had Jordan Harbinger on the show. He didn't talk about it on this show, but I heard in a different conversation, what they used to do is they actually used to mail their guests a microphone and headphones. I think maybe actually it was Tim Ferriss, but one of those guys. It was a common practice that they mail the guests because at the end of the day, if you have enough audience and you're producing a significant amount of income, you might as well make the $50 to $200 investment to ensure the guest has the right quality stuff. And then they have it and think of you every time they use their microphone. So I'm wondering, you mentioned Blue Yeti, which is probably the most commonly used USB microphone. Very commonly used. Everybody, all the YouTubers used to use it back in the day. Give us some quick tips. I mean, you and I have pretty decent audio quality, so we seem to know kind of what we're talking about. What, first off, what's wrong with Blue Yeti? And then what kind of technology should we be using?
Okay, so Blue Yeti is weird. So like I said, Blue Yeti, it's one of the most used microphone in 2019. 17% of the podcasters are using Blue Yeti. 17% of the whole podcast are using Blue Yeti. I don't know why. Nothing wrong with Blue Yeti. What's wrong with the idea of Blue Yeti? It's human. So people doesn't really know how to use Blue Yeti. Blue Yeti has a lot of options. If you see the knob, they have like different polar patterns and they have gain. And then one most misconceptions of Blue Yeti is that people speak to the top of the microphone, which is not the case. So Blue Yeti is a front address microphone, which you talk to the side of the logo, which is on the side. So you should talk to the side of the microphone. I saw Jenna Fisher's Instagram story. She's speaking on top of the Blue Yeti during lockdown. I saw Justin Long, you know, Justin Long, the Mac guy.
Yeah.
It was speaking on the top of the Blue Yeti. Chelsea Handler, she's speaking on top of the Blue Yeti. I'm like, do they not have a producer sit in and be like, hey, you're using it wrong?
Yeah.
She's corrected. So that's why I don't really like Blue Yeti. It's because no one, even though they've written really clearly on the manual, like, hey, this is how you should use it. But as you know, no one read the manual. So everyone using it wrong.
Well, so first off, I'm imagining someone setting it up like a boom mic and having it boomed right at them and just not set up properly. But just because people don't know how to use the tool doesn't make it bad, does it? Is it a bad tool or is it just that, is it a user error?
It's a user error. It's a great tool. The reason why I didn't like it, because a lot of the podcasters, most of them, they are not exactly tech savvy and they don't spend the time to read the manual. It's a great tool. So Blue Yeti was actually produced and manufactured back then for musicians, actual musicians, for singers, for guitarists, so they can
for like the the omnidirectional sound, so you can kind of get like a little bit of echo and a little bit of acoustic in it.
Yeah. So like, let's say if someone wants to do a guitars and singing. Then they would put omnidirectional so it can capture better sounding. Or if they want to just record vocal, then they go for cardioid so they can sing into the microphone. It's condenser microphone, so it's good for singing. So it's supposedly for musicians. And then somehow, you know, people, it's really cheap then. It's really cheap. So somehow people are like, okay, this is cheap microphone and it sounds very sensitive. I can be really far away and I can still hear myself. Yeah, but just ignore all the background noises. Just ignore all the room sound. Ignore all the echo.
Yeah.
It's a good mic. You know, that's why it became so huge because, like you say, all the streamer use it. And then whenever you see a Blue Yeti with great audio quality, you always see panel. You always see panels behind them, in front of them, around them, because they treated their room so it's less echoey compared to you know, just setting it up in a living room and just going at it.
Yeah, you set it up in living room, someone walks in, the dog starts to bark, it can get out of hand. But tell us so some super quick tips, and then I want to kind of jump back to what's new and exciting and talk a little bit about James Altucher's show. But super quick tips on, I'm buying a mic and I'm buying headset. Oh. And Albert's in a great, I'm just wearing the mic and the headset together. I've got one of those old radio broadcaster styles if someone's not watching the video. But let's say someone's trying to show up best on Zoom. They might not be a podcaster, but they want to look good and they want to sound good because people are judging them and they want to have a professional appearance. What do you recommend to them?
Okay, so depends on the budget. If you're not a podcaster, I assume you don't want to spend too much money on the microphone, right? So there are two microphones that you can look at. One is Samson, S-A-M-S-O-N, I think. Samson Q2U. That's only going for $69. And Audio-Technica ATR-2100X, the USB version, is going about the same price. And I don't know when is this coming out, but Prime Day is happening very soon.
Oh.
The Prime Day in October 17 or something like that, like a couple of weeks from now. So you probably can get it for even cheaper.
So this is coming out, I think, October 10th. You know what, it has to, because I just said it. So October 10th.
Okay. Yeah,
wait, I just lied. November 10th.
okay,
James is coming out on Monday. Today's Friday. James came out on Monday. When's Black Friday?
Yeah, Black Friday.
Yeah.
A day after Thanksgiving. Hey, you know, another chance for you to get a pretty cheap microphone. Samson Q2U and Audio-Technica ATR-100X, the USB version. Those two are good microphones. And as far as headphones, you can use whichever you want to. Just make sure it's wired. Mm. I'm a fan of wired so that, you know, like you wouldn't run out of battery. You wouldn't, you know, come into like, oh, connection issues. I can't hear anything. So wired headphones, any wired headphones, as long as in-ear or cup, is totally fine. So that too, I think you can get a pretty decent audio quality just from that too.
And it's not tremendously expensive, and there's great durability. I mean, this microphone and wired headphones, I can be using that for the next 5 years, so it's a good investment to make.
Yeah, my headphones is like $500. It probably will last me for 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah.
Well, kick butt. I like to add value wherever we can find, but let's get back to the conversation. So some nosebleeds, a ton of stuff went great for you. You're obviously an innovator. You come in as an intern, and you're already looking at how I can make things better. You're bold and willing to say, hey, this isn't right. This is a better way to do it. Is that what caught James's attention, or how did that relationship begin?
All right. So how did James find me?
Yeah.
This is a version James and I agree upon. So I was an immigrant.
Is there a version you don't agree upon?
Yep, we both agree upon. So I was an immigrant from Malaysia.
Yeah.
I came here not knowing any English, sitting in Chinatown, and he walked by. He's like, that Chinese guy, I can teach him English and record my podcast. And then, you know, he took me in, teach me English, and I record his podcast. That's the version we agree upon on. But the real version, it's funny because like one day someone asks us and then we just riff it off and then we're like, okay, this should be our origin story. But But the real story is I was working in Sweet Sound Studios. But so at that point, I was half assistant engineer and engineer. So I engineer a smaller music sessions, but I engineer most of the voiceover sessions because my strength is definitely in voiceover. So I'm able to record a voiceover. And then by the time the recording is done, as in like the voiceover artist has done spoken the line, I will have to edit 80% done. So by the time they're done, I can just start, I can like play back and they're like, okay, we just changed a couple of things. So my thing is, if I can save clients money, I will save clients money. I'm not one of those person like, hey, pay me $1 billion that I sit around and do nothing. Because because like if in our industry, there's a saying, if you save your clients money, they are more likely to come back to you. You know,
yeah.
Because they know that you have value. You have their you know, their best interest in heart, you know. So James that time was going through the Airbnb phase where he will live in Airbnb to Airbnb to Airbnb, and just so happened his Airbnb was a block away from the studio. So one day he came in with Steven Dapner from Freakonomics, and then they were recording questions of the day with another engineer. So I was assisting them. So I'm like, this is cool, this is fun. And then they came back again, this time without an engineer. So they just put me on, and then I just do whatever the engineer told me, like set up the right microphone, do everything. And then I'm like, this is great. This is fun. This is very different than music. I learned stuff from podcasting. You know, like even though I'm recording, I get to learn that, okay, you know, I should be doing, you know, experiment to, I should do this, I should do that, you know, to improve myself. And then when they walk out,
for clarification, when you say you learn something, you're not just talking about your industry itself, you're talking about from the topic in the conversation.
Yeah, like self-improvement, like, you know.
Got it.
AJ Jacobs, the one of the first few episodes that I recorded for James, I'm like, okay, so I should do experiment with strangers all the time.
Yeah.
So that actually made me into what I call a pretend extrovert. So I'm an introvert. So I'm scared to talk to strangers.
Yeah.
But because of the mindset that James and AJ was talking about, then AJ Jacobs, I'm like, okay, I should just do it. Like, worst they can do is just look at me, smile, and think that I'm a crazy person, right? So that sort of make me into like this pretended extrovert. I just want to know everyone. I just want to make sure everyone is feel included in a group.
Sounds exhausting, Jay. As an introvert, that sounds exhausting.
By the time I get home from any event, I'm like, I just want to sleep for 24 hours.
So you had an opportunity to work on a podcast and then you got hired full time?
Not yet. So I was an assistant engineer, and then I became an engineer. And it's not a full-time engineer too, because James is still going from a studio to studio. And when he come to our studio, if I'm not free, the studio manager will put another engineer on, you know, for James. So what happened is when the studio closed, the studio, you know, went out of business, just the boss doesn't really want to do it anymore. The studio closed, I'm like, okay, crap. Now I have to find ways to keep my clients around, right? And I would really want to do podcasting. And then I sort of use what I have learned from one of the topics that James and one of the guests talked about, like always ask.
Yeah.
You know, like if you don't ask, you're never going to get the things that you wanted. And, you know, what the worst is that they say no, and then you're like, okay, now we just go somewhere else. So I reach out to James' team. He has a different producer then. I'm like, hey, the studio is closing. I know you're doing base in New York, and you always look for studios to go to. Mm. I know a lot of studio in New York City. Let me handle all the bookings for you in terms of studios. And then I would just engineer all the sessions. And they're like, you know what? Sure, go for it. So I started doing that. And then I went a little bit above and beyond is that every time when the session is done, I'm like, no one's taking a picture for them. I mean, it's so good to have picture to put on social media and stuff like that. I'm like,
such a small detail, but such a big difference.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm going to take a picture for you. And then you guys can have it. And then you guys can post wherever you want to. And the other thing, it's also every time when they are in the studio, I will make sure there's always water in front of them. They come in, the first thing I hand them is water. Hey, do you want some water? Here's a water. Because it's just the small detail that make people feel comfortable. Yeah. They can, you know, change the whole dynamic of the conversations.
I'm thinking about this. And for the listener, think about how this is relevant in your career. I mean, a small detail of two individuals are having a conversation. Let's make sure they look good and sound good, but let's also make sure they have water. Yep. Afterwards, let's make sure we take a picture because it's a great memory and it can be shared on social media, provides additional social proof and content. These are like no-brainer logical steps, but the question to ask ourselves is where in our business process are we missing some of these low-hanging fruit, easy logical steps that provide a fantastic customer client experience that allows for growth? So any other little details we miss? Because again, they're such simple, basic, let's take a photo, but it makes a big difference. Anything that we missed?
It's like a basic human connections, right? Because a lot of people that just think that, okay, I'm an engineer, I come in, I set everything up and I record and I call it the day. No, yeah. Every industry is a service industry. So we come in, I was telling my friend, I was actually just posted it on Twitter, is that as an engineer, your job is not only, engineer and producer actually, your job is only not only there to make sure everyone sounds good and comfortable.
Yeah,
you are also their hype man. You want to hype them up for a great conversation after. Or you want to hype them up so they can do a better job in playing and recording and singing and all the stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's important to be someone else's hype man. You know, it's just little details like that. You know, water, make sure everyone is comfortable. Just think, you have to think maybe a couple steps ahead and have a backup just in case.
That's such an interesting, I'm remembering college. I had one professor that would sit in the back when we presented and would just nod and write. And I could never read if I was doing well or not. He would just nod stoically, regardless of what I said, and write. Then I had another professor. He's actually, let me double check real quick. He's the next episode on the show. Dr. Alex Lyon, he's now like a YouTube celebrity. I had him in college. We would do a presentation and he would start the presentation with, are you ready? And he would force us to say, I was born ready. And it was a prime though, because he wanted to hype up the students, bring a good energy, kind of be their cheerleader. And then the other professor, who was incredible as a professor, didn't give me that positive reinforcement and actually made me nervous and more validation seeking, wondering if I was doing well. So again, that's such a small nuanced thing. If you can create an environment where the host or the guest or whoever involved in this environment feels comforted, they're going to produce at a higher level, right?
Yeah. And also you have to think of yourself as a performer in every other way. Like you... So I have incidents. My friend hired this editor that worked for her for like a couple years. Yeah. All of a sudden, he has a bad week. And then he sent her this long email about like the rates and stuff like that. And then she weirded out. I'm like, what? Where does this come from? And then a couple days later, she told me, yeah, he's having a bad week. I'm like, you shouldn't take it on your client. You have a bad week.
Yeah,
it's on you. Then you should deal with it. You shouldn't, you know, when you work for a client, when you see a client, when you're trying to record a client, you throw all that away. Be present. Like, this is a session that pay you to do it. Make sure it sounds good. And then make sure you perform for them. Make sure you cheer them on, even though you have things going on, you know?
Yeah, we're all going through stuff, but negativity, we all have bad days. Yeah. We need to be honest with ourselves, but if we're just vomiting our issues on people, it's not going to make the world a better place. Maybe that's a little existential, but that's what I believe.
Yeah. That's why I always love dad jokes. If any kinds of situations, I'm like, oh, make some dad jokes, and hopefully it will make things better.
Do you have a favorite dad joke?
Yeah. What do you call a computer that can sing?
Computer that can't sing?
Can't sing, yeah. Like the computer that sings really well.
Not sure.
Adele?
Adele.
I love that, yeah. That's like my favorite joke.
I'll give you one of my favorites.
Okay.
So why did the can crusher, why did the can crusher quit his job?
Why?
It was so depressing.
Oh, that was good. That was really good. I'm going to steal that.
I've got like 15 of them. Maybe we'll do them offline. This isn't a comedy bit, but
yeah.
So I got to ask you, because you've been a fly on the wall now to a tremendous amount of conversations and insights, and we're just brilliant conversations on the James Altucher Show. What stands out for you? You already kind of touched on a couple from the early days, but what has stood out from you?
What do you mean? Like which guest stood out for me?
Yeah, you know, that's such an open-ended question. It could be a guest or an idea, but is there anything you learned in the process of what you get to do for a living that you've actually implemented and has created ripples or changes?
Yes. I learned from James, but James still said that I'm not doing it well enough. Be curious. I don't know if you know, like even James on your show, he is curious about you too. I don't know if he did that for you when he's on. He will ask you questions, what you do or whatever you're doing or whatever.
Yeah, so he was trying to take over the conversation on me and to turn it to the host.
Yeah, that's why he's great. So like be curious. I think James and I has this in common. I always curious, but I'm not a great question. Like I didn't ask great questions, but you know, I'm bad at asking questions. So I'm still learning that from James. So that one, and always ask if you need something, because what they can say it's no. And then experiment with different things, which is what I do all the time. Every time I got a new gear, I'm like, hey, I want to experiment this way to this way. And I wanted to start a podcast. I recorded 5 pilots because I want to experiment with each format and each topic to see what I like.
Yeah.
So yeah, experiment, and then asking questions and be curious. Be really curious about anything. Even things that you find no interest in, you know, just be curious. Ask a couple of questions, because the answer that you get may lead to another answer that you can give to someone asking you the same questions.
You covered a lot and concisely. I appreciate it. You mentioned formats. I'm just curious, do you have a favorite as a producer and a consumer? Do you have a favorite format for a podcast?
I do. My favorite format, it's one of those that it's narrative but interview at the same time. So like you will have them telling stories and then they interview some interview and then they're telling story again. But those podcasts are a little bit harder to produce because you have to do a bunch of research, and then you have to record the narrative. Then on top of that, you have to interview a couple people for one episode.
I'm listening to like NPR podcasts, and the amount of pre-production, research, conversations, editing per hour, I'm like, I do like 15 episodes in that amount of time. So it's an art form. It's telling a whole story. It's like a whole television show in itself.
It is. One of my favorite podcasts is called 20,000 Hertz. 20,000 is a great podcast that spent 6 months on one episode.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, that's a lot of work.
That is a lot of work. But again, if you have the audience, it pays dividends. I generally encourage people, tell me if you disagree, if someone's interested in podcasting, creating content, just getting out there, just go ahead and get started. Maybe not in the car with the AC blowing, but go ahead and get started, because to try to create a podcast that does require 40 to 50 hours per episode, it's very easy to quit or not see results on your time. What are your thoughts on like just get started versus plan your attack?
I think it depends.
Yeah.
You can get started because, so let's say if you never started a podcast before, you should get started because you have to get used to be in front of the camera, in front of the microphone, in front of the computer all day, in front of people. And then you have to figure out ways to ask questions, ways to edit your audio, edit this and that. Then the next podcast that you want to start, maybe that you can plan a little bit more because you know what goes into producing a podcast now. So the next one when you do, when you plan a little bit, will be significantly better than the first one that you ever started with. Then, you know, you can ditch the first one and then bring all your listener to the second one.
James said it on the part one, go on a quest. This could be our quest.
Go on a quest. This is your quest. Yeah, it's my quest too. I'm still, well, the thing is because I'm so easily distracted. That's why I told you I've recorded 4 to 5 pilots because I get distracted. I'm like, now I want to talk about this. Now I want to talk about this. Now I want to do this. Now I want to do this.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going on a quest with 5 different paths.
Mm. We have just enough time for rapid fire round. If it's okay, we might just run a little bit long. But I always like, the audience likes the rapid fire round. It's short, sweet, random questions that I just want to squeeze in at the end. And take your time with it, because this was the one question I wrote down that James wanted me to ask you about. And he said to preface it, he prefaced it, you can be totally honest.
Okay.
You can be totally honest. Most difficult things you have to deal with being his podcast producer.
The waiting.
What do you mean? The waiting.
So I'm really honest about this, James, if you're listening to this. The waiting. You kept me waiting for so long. So first off, James is terrible at replying emails. So James is smart, but he doesn't keep his device around. So it's hard to reach him. It's very hard to reach him. So the waiting and very hard to reach him, but he's really smart. And I love that he gave me so much freedom to do whatever I want. I'm like, James, I have this idea called Wall Street Insane. You can do it with Omid and your friend Dan. He's like, sure, I like it. Do it. And then I'm like, hey, I have this idea called My Favorite Things. So just list 10 of your favorite things and tell us about it. He's like, sure, let's go for it. I'm like, okay. So James is really good at... I'm grateful for this as well. Really good at giving me the creative freedom of starting any mini series. And then he usually say, so out of 10, he probably say no to one. So like he's really up for anything. And he's a great guy, like very generous. I remember 2017, I wasn't even full time. I'm like, hey, my then girlfriend lived in Fresno. You know, I'm like, yeah, I can't be with him for Christmas Day. And he bought me a plane ticket to fly to see her. So he is great. He's very, very, very generous. But yeah, the waiting and not able to reach him, it's probably the hardest part dealing with James. And if he doesn't reply your email, just because he get tons of emails. So the way I counteract with that is that I sort of know when is he going to be in front of the computer.
Yeah.
Then I will email him at the time so it will pop up right away.
He had mentioned something like he's got multiple servers that he plays on. You have to figure out where to find him or call like his wife.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. To find him, he played chess, right? He played chess on multiple server in chess.com and Lee Chess. So I added him on both. And if, like, let's say the show starts at 4:30, and then he hasn't showed up at 4:30. And then while I'm talking to the guests, like try to entertain them to make sure they stay. I would go to all this chess.com, see if it's online. Okay. He's going to delete chess, see if it's online. And I'm like, hey, James, hey, the show is the taping starting, you know, the taping is starting soon. Are you jumping on? And I would email him, I would text him, I would call him. And now sometimes I'm like, I have to call his wife, like, hey, Robin, is James around? Are you around, James?
Is James home? Is James home?
Yeah. And then now when we live a little bit far, like if you know, if really needed, I would probably would drive over to James, like, James, it's time to go on the show, you know.
Yeah. Actually knock on the door and say, hey, is James home?
Is James home? He has to be on the show. And then just drive back, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that's basically it. But he's really good at you know, everything else. So, and I'm also a very patient person. So, that I don't really mind, but sometimes, you know, that can be a little bit tough to deal with.
I got one more spicy question for you.
Okay.
So I told James I was interviewing you. Obviously, he was excited about that. What do you think he didn't, if anything, what do you think he wouldn't want me to ask you? What would he not want me to ask you, and can I ask you it?
You probably wouldn't want to ask me how he do his hair.
Okay.
Yeah, and you probably wouldn't want me to ask want you to ask me how much weight has he gained.
Do you want to answer those? That's up to you. Those are interesting ones.
No. I can't answer those. I can't answer those because I don't think, I don't know how he does his hair. Like, his hair is very curly.
Other than like it was very dark, but his is going a little more gray. But yeah. I had hair like his when I was younger. I lost it all. Mm. I had a Jufro my first 18 years. So I'm very jealous of his hair.
Yeah. And he has the Malcolm Gladwell hair.
Yes.
Now you should call the James out of your hair. But I do think sometimes Robin, his wife, helps too. Because his wife is a great hairstylist, specialized in hair coloring. So, you know, like, she's very stylish. She has a great artistic eye compared to James and I, because we are very logical. So every time when I do mixing and sound, for me, everything has to be perfectly symmetrical. But with Robin, she see things like in a very artsy and artful way. So
I know, yes, I think having a beard, I know, like, it's not always about total symmetry of length. It's about the way it looks in terms
it's
of
about,
like,
the weight. Too,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So I'm pretty sure he has help.
So I got to ask you, how do we reach out to Robin to get our hair did?
I don't know. That you have to ask James. You have to ask James.
A more important question is, well, first off, thanks for coming on, Jay. You are part two of this series. I'm excited to end this two-parter with you. And we already talked about it in part one, but what do we do next? We should check out the James Altucher show, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I think before we start, I always said that James is very, very... James is not as great at self-marketing. He's very good at marketing other people's stuff. Really good at marketing his product, his other things, but not the show. So if you're interested, listen to the James Altucher show. Once in a while, I will be on there with James. We recently just did one on legacy and morality. Before that, James and I did one on decisions, how to make decisions. So, so once in a while, I'll pop in and you know, chat with James on some questions that I have. You know, sometimes I'm like, does legacy matters? Like, should people care about their own legacy? So we have a great fun talking about that.
Yeah, there's multiple formats. There's episodes where James is speaking most of the time. There's been a couple where you've interviewed him, and then he's interviewed. We already named a couple, but what are some of the guests that have been on the show that people may want to check out?
Ooh, Peter Thiel was a really good one. So Peter Thiel, the audio quality might not sound as good because it was recorded way before. It was recorded in 2015 or 2015. So, like, that was one of the first few episodes that he'd done. And Peter Thiel haven't really go to any podcast. So if you want to hear about anything about Peter Thiel, you should listen to that one. And then Richard Branson was a good one. Mark Cuban is always a good one. And Scott Adams, even though he's been canceled, that is a good
controversial
one.
Controversial
figures. That was a good one because so we didn't really talk about a lot of politics. Towards the end, they talk a little bit about like how people react to some of certain things on the internet. But the episode is about reframing, how to reframe, you know, whatever you say, how to reframe yourself, reframe yourself to be more, you know, marketable. So that was a good one too. And that's, if you like AI, the episode that James did with John Morrow about how to use AI to write, how to trick AI to write better, that was a really good one too.
I listen to the show. I'm subscribed. I recommend the listener subscribe. I have a lot of episodes that if you haven't listened, you can go back, but I won't lose any sleep if you go binge on the James Altucher show as well. If you've listened to every one of my episodes, I'd go binge on that. But regardless, I'd happily lose subscribers to you guys, specifically because all I want is people to get the right kind of knowledge and wisdom, and that's what you're doing on the show, and I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Well, thanks,
all
man.
James, though. It's all James. I'm just there to like press record
and make it sound
and
good.
Hype him up. Yeah, and make it sound, yeah.
Well, thanks again, Jay. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on the show because I'm a no name and you have me on the show, so I really appreciate it.
One day. Okay, one final question, and this is not a knock to James, but if you could produce for any musician or thought leader, who would you want to work with? It could be any music. Let's do musician if you want, if you don't want to step on James' toes, but or you can step on his toes. If you could produce for anybody in the world, who would you like to be working with?
Oh, man. This is a hard one because there's so many people that I want to produce with. Like, I think
name a few.
When I started working in the music industry, I think I kind of want to record a few people that I want to record was Paramore because I really love their song.
Yeah.
And punk rock and rock. That was the you know, the first few Paramore album. Now they are a little bit poppy now. So hopefully they can go back to, you know, the rock album again. But yeah, probably Paramore or Paramore. And in terms of thought leaders, I don't know.
That's if you worked with Elon Musk, you probably could be an astronaut.
Yeah, I could. But like, he'll be interesting one to produce and record. But I heard that he's very demanding.
Yeah.
For sure. But yeah, you know, if I can work with, you know, 20,000 Hertz, my favorite show, like a couple times, great. That would be great too. You know, I just want to see how their workflow is and then I can learn, you know.
Well, thanks for the additional question. I had to ask you. It just came up. I got to run. You're a busy man, and the listener's probably sick of us. So let's say goodbye, and they'll go subscribe to your show, James Altucher Show, and dive deeper.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on, and I really, really appreciate it.
Thanks again, Jay.